we come then to God in prayer. Let's pray. God, we would come to praise you. Lord, we praise you that if we are Christians, then we do know you and we love you, our God, and want to serve you all our days. And we thank you that we can come. And we thank you that you put it into our hearts to come to worship you today. And we pray, O God, that we may feel and know your presence, that you would speak to us, O God, through your word. Lord, that we might have come to hear what you would say, that we might have come to worship you with sincerity, O God. Help us to think of the words we sing. Help us to be attentive as your word is read. And help us, O God, to be listening to the preaching of your word, listening as those who have eternal souls that must go to heaven or to hell. O Lord, come, and may we hear your word, and may you bring glory to your name, O God. Amen.
Amen.
To read from the scriptures in Luke chapter 8:41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitude is strong and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well." When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in, except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. They all wept and mourned for her. But he said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." And they riddled him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. So reads God's word. I'm particularly thinking about a man called Jairus. "Please, go away," plead the terrified Gadareans when they see their herd of swine rushing madly down into the Sea of Galilee. "Please, let me stay with you," said a man called Legion, in whom many demons had lived until Jesus delivered him and healed him. "Please come to my house," begs a man named Jairus. All those stories here in Luke chapter 8. they show that there are different reactions to the Lord Jesus. Some saying, go away. Others saying, come to my house. And I wonder what your reaction to the Lord Jesus Christ is. You say, well, I've come to a chapel. But you are saying, go away to Jesus if you have not asked him to forgive you of your sins. Let's focus on this man Jairus. Jairus had a problem. That's the first one. Jairus had a problem. But first, before we look at the problem, who was Jairus? He was a prominent man in Capernaum. He was one of the leaders of the synagogue. A man highly respected, a man honoured in his community. Presumably he was rich, lived in an upmarket house, highly respected. But his position and his possessions did not shield him from this problem. Trouble comes alive into the lives and the homes of rich, poor, young, old, whoever we are. We read in the book of Job that we are born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Look at the fire, you expect to see sparks. Look at human people and you expect to see trouble. It's part of our lives. But what was Jairus' problem? His only daughter, aged 12, was desperately sick, and it looked as if she would die. No doubt, Jairus and his wife called in the doctors, the physicians, tried the medicines and the tablets, but nothing would stop this illness progressing, and death looked inevitable. So that's the problem. Here is a man, influential, esteemed in the community, but he has a problem. His only daughter, we do not know her name, but she was sick. But what did Jairus do about the problem? He takes his problem to Jesus. And that's the best thing that he could do. He goes to Jesus. Says, come to my house. No doubt he had in his mind, if Jesus comes to my house, then he will heal my daughter. And parents in pain may bring their children by prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ. As Jairus brought his daughter and her need to Jesus, so parents in pain, you may bring your children to the Lord. Children who are unwell, children having difficulties at school, children whose behavior causes heartache, children who have gone astray, children who maybe once came to the chapel, children who may even have been baptized, but as they've grown older, they have rejected their profession of faith, they've rejected your God and away they've gone, and they're on your hearts and they cause pain. But you may come in prayer with your children, with your pain, to the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus said, let the little children come to me. So as families we may pray for one another and pray together for our children. Maybe aged parents, maybe other members of the family who have problems, you may bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to notice this, that Jairus, though such a prominent leader, was not too proud to come to Jesus. What was Jesus? He'd been a carpenter. Who was Jesus? An itinerant preacher. And yet Jairus comes to him. Think of what everybody would say in the synagogue. Think of what everybody would say in the community. Jairus, a man like that going to a carpenter with his problem. But Jairus is not too proud. And many have been too proud to come to the Lord Jesus with their problems. Many have been too proud to come and admit to Christ that they are sinners and they cannot save themselves and they cannot solve their problems. Life is falling apart. They are sinners. They are guilty. But somehow we will manage. We will not go to Christ. We have to swallow our pride. And we have to come to Him and say, Lord, I'm helpless. I cannot solve the problems within my family. I cannot solve the problems in my life. I cannot deal with my sin. I cannot rid myself of my sin. And you alone must help me as you helped Jairus so long ago. Will you come to him? Lord, here is my guilt. Here is my care. Here is my anxiety. Here are my burdens. I bring them to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I read this story, a question occurred to me. Why did Jairus seek the Savior's help? How did he know that Jesus could help him? Well, when you read this book of Luke, we read that Jairus was an elder of the synagogue. And the synagogue was built through the kindness of a Roman centurion. And that centurion had a servant who was dying, and Jesus healed the man's servant. So if Jesus healed a servant, wouldn't he be willing to heal a daughter, maybe Jairus thought? And shortly after the healing of the centurion's servant, in the nearby village of Nain, a mother was bringing her only son to his funeral. He was dead. And Jesus stops the procession and raises the dead son to life. If he raised the dead from tonight, maybe he could prevent my daughter from death. Maybe Jairus reasoned like that. And everybody was talking about the madman who lived among the tombs on the other side of the river, the lake, the Sea of Galilee, running around the tombs, naked, chained, but he broke the chains, and Jesus delivered the demon-possessed man. Everybody was talking about it. And Jairus heard about it too. And if that's what he can do for a man so deranged, so demon-possessed, a madman like that, oh, surely he can heal my daughter. And therefore he goes to Jesus crying out for his help. So Jairus heard about Jesus and what he had done and thought he can do it for me. And you have heard, I know, about the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard from Pastor Gladwell week after week the preaching of Jesus Christ, how he has died on a cross to deliver sinners. But have you come to Jesus for yourself? Have you heard about him and come to him?
Or have you heard about him and you have done nothing? Oh, come like clouds to the Lord Jesus with your sin and your guilt and your problems and your cares and your anxieties. So how does Jairus go to Jesus with his problem? And seeing how Jairus went to Jesus teaches us how we may go to him in prayer with our sin and guilt, with our burdens and our cares. We read verse 41 that Jairus fell down at Jesus' feet. He falls at the feet of one that most people only saw as the carpenter turned preacher. But he falls at his feet in an attitude of humility and dependence. He realizes here is God in human flesh. God who alone can help me in this situation. And we must come to the Lord Jesus. He's not just a man. He is God. And as God, he was able to do these miracles. As God, he can forgive you and heal you of sin and come to you in your problems with your cares and burdens. We read also in verse 41 that Jairus begged Jesus to help him. Came and he begged him there in verse 41. He fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? Begged him. It's an expression of his helplessness. If you don't come, Jesus, my daughter's going to die. You must come. We have no other solution. We have no other help. You must come at once. And Jesus is the only one who can forgive our sins. The only one who can lift our guilt. The only one who can help us, really help us long term with our problems and our cares. He alone can lift our burdens. Is he willing to receive Jairus? Is he willing to receive you and me? Ah, the Lord Jesus says, come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Do you say, yes, I feel weary of life. I am burdened with my sin. I am burdened with care. Oh, Jesus says, come to me. Just like Jairus did. Beg ye my help, and I will receive you. And it's quite clear in this story that Jairus came and he knew why he'd come. And this is emphasized more in the other Gospels. But he clearly says to Jesus, come to my house and heal my daughter. And when you come to the Lord, don't, as we say, beat around the bush. Tell him exactly what you want. Lord, I want to be forgiven. Lord, I want you to help me. Lord, I want you to help my son, my daughter, my aged parent, my brother, my sister. I want you to help that fellow believer who is in such trouble and distress. So Jairus has a problem. 12-year-old daughter so ill, she's near to death. What does Jairus do with the problem? He brings the problem to Jesus. Kneeling in humility, begging for his help. And that's what you must do. There's a greater problem than physical health. That is the problem of sin. And with that problem, you must come to Christ. And you must cry out to him like Jairus did. So how does Jesus respond? He begins to walk with Jairus to his house. But then Jairus hears bad news. A breathless messenger pushes his way through the crowds of people with bad news. your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. She said, that's it, Jairus. You may as well come home. And maybe verse 49, when we read those words, your daughter is dead, bad news, triggers in your mind memories. Telephone call. A letter. Knock at the door. With bad news. Someone has died. Some daughter in an accident. Someone desperately ill. You understand bad news, don't you? Sad that we hear too much of it. Jairus heard bad news. What worse news could he hear? Your daughter is dead. That's final. That's the end of it. Maybe Jairus is beginning to think, well, I suppose that's it then. He's found me. I may as well clear off own him. And that prompts another question. I'm reading the Bible, I often ask questions. And it prompts this question. Well, why didn't Jesus hurry to Jairus' house? Jesus knows everything. He knew that the daughter was so ill and nearing death. Why didn't he go at once? Or why didn't he even just say the word? She'll be healed. Jesus didn't need to go to the house. But why didn't he go and rush there? Well, because there was an interruption. There was this woman with a flow of blood. Hemorrhage for 12 years never stopped. And this woman needs Jesus' attention. She too needs healing. And maybe as all this is going on, Jairus is feeling impatient and frustrated. Why doesn't he hurry? Why doesn't he come quick to my house? What is going on? Doesn't he care about me and my daughter? Should I go home? But Jesus had deliberately delayed going to Jairus' house. If Jesus had gone at once, he would have seen a miracle of healing. But because Jesus didn't go at once, he saw a miracle of a girl brought back from the dead. He saw a greater display of God's power because of Jesus' delay. And sometimes we may wonder, why didn't Jesus answer my prayer more quickly? Why has this situation arrived? Why? But we have to remember that the Lord Jesus is in control. And the Lord Jesus never makes mistakes. And the Lord Jesus knows exactly what he is doing in your life. We're familiar with Romans 8:28, aren't we? You certainly are if you're a Christian. We know that all things work together for good. For those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. So it's not that somehow things will turn out right in the end. It is that God is working for those he loves. Amen. And he's always working for the best in your life. And he loves you so much, he will not cause you unnecessary pain. Now that can be hard to accept, can't it? But it's what we learn from the story of Jairus. And it may be he has something better in store, better in mind. I thank God for some prayers he never answered in my life. I thank God for doors he slammed in my face. And directions he wouldn't let me go. Because he had better things in mind for me. I have proved, and many of you had to, over many years, that God is too wise to be mistaken, too good to be unkind. So hold on. Maybe a Christian here going through a difficult trial. Things are going wrong for you. God doesn't seem to care, but he does. Just hold on.
Keep trusting him. And he will work for you as he did for Jairus. Isn't it wonderful the way that Jesus turns to Jairus, reeling from the news of his daughter's death? What does Jesus say? He says very tenderly, verse 50, "Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well." But she's dying. But just hold on to that promise, Jairus. She will be made well. And we have all the promises of the Bible. That if we ask, we receive. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, God's door of mercy will be open to us. With all the promises that he will forgive us and receive us. And that he will help us and sustain us. That he will lift our burdens. That he cares for us and loves us. We have all the promises to hold on to. As Jairus held on to that promise, she shall be made well. So here's a man with a problem, Jairus. He takes that problem to Jesus. Jairus hears bad news. But thank God, the story has a happy ending. For Jairus sees a miracle. She goes with him into the house. Jairus sees a miracle. They're strange words, aren't they? Verse 52. "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." Of course she was physically dead. And that's why some of the mourners laughed at Jesus. The professional mourners came. And they laughed at him. They knew a dead girl when they saw one. They'd been to so many funerals, earned so much money, playing the flutes and crying. "She's dead." And they laughed at him. So what did he mean? "She is not dead." Did Jesus get it wrong? Well, of course not. What he meant was, she is not permanently dead. Because I will raise her from the dead. They understood that later. She's not dead. Not permanently dead. But I will give her life. And the same is true of every believer who dies. Every believer who dies is laid in the grave. There is a sense in which we can say he or she is not dead. Their souls are in the presence, consciously in the presence of God in heaven. But their bodies are resting in the grave. On one day, when the trumpet sounds and the Lord comes, the body and souls of believers will be reunited. And we'll have a wonderful body fit for eternity with God in heaven. Amen. That gives us comfort and hope when we bury our loved one. He, she is not dead. They're but sleeping. Their body sleeps. Their soul is absent from the body, but present with the Lord. So there's great comfort given to us here as Christians in this passage. Can you face death like that? When my time comes, I will be, if I'm a Christian at once with Christ, my body will rest until the day of resurrection. Or is the future and death something you'd rather not think about? Dread. No hope, no certainty, no understanding of death and what happens afterwards. Oh, but come to Christ like Jairus did, and you will have this hope and certainty in death that you'll be with Christ forever, given a wonderful resurrection body. Oh, go and read sometimes once again the end of 1 Corinthians 15 from about 50 onward. This mortality must put on immortality. This corruption must put on incorruption. Oh, there's a glorious future for the Christian. But let's come back more directly to the story. Notice Jesus' human tenderness.
He said in verse 54, though the girl is 12, he says, little girl. He's not being patronizing. He is showing his compassion. Little girl. And one of the other gospel writers says that he touched her. A Jewish teacher. Jesus touching a dead body. That would have been horrifying to a Jewish rabbi, to a religious leader, a leader of the synagogue, that wouldn't touch a dead body, but Jesus touches the body. Little girl, he says so tenderly. We see his human tenderness. We see his divine power, verse 54, 55. Arise! He's talking to a dead girl. You've been looking, you think, how ridiculous. This is against science, to me, it's medicine. You don't talk to a dead body and say, get up. But Jesus did, because he's God. And her spirit returned. And she arose immediately. Everybody knew there'd been a miracle. Some of the modern claims, the miracles, you wonder whether anything's happened. But no doubt about it here, dead, now alive. There couldn't be any doubt about it. And what Jesus did for a dead girl, he does for dead sinners. The Bible says that we're all like dead people spiritually. But God can give us life, spiritual life, raise us from spiritual death. And there's a lovely touch here that he says, give her something to eat. I like that. The girl had been ill probably for a long, long time. And when she woke up and she's better, she's probably thinking, oh, I could do with something to eat. Anything in the cupboard, mum? Give her something to eat. Such a lovely, tender touch there. Why did Jesus give the strange command in verse 56? Her parents were astonished. It's almost an understatement. But he charged them to tell no one what had happened. How could they keep quiet? A dead daughter brought back to life? Well, it'd been almost, it was, I'm sure, impossible to keep quiet. But why does he say to them, don't tell anyone? Why, we want to tell everybody. It's because not far away were the Pharisees plotting the death of Jesus. To quote one writer on this Gospel of Luke, he says, Jesus came to earth to die, but he wished to die his own predestined hour, not earlier. So Jesus didn't want these Pharisees plotting his death too soon. Jesus was in control. And he would die at the time he planned, not the time the Pharisees wanted. So here's a man with a problem. 12-year-old daughter died. Here's a man who takes his problem to Jesus. So should you. Here's a man who hears bad news. But even when we hear bad news, we know that our Savior loves us and is working everything for our good. And here is a man who sees a miracle. You may see a miracle. You may see God change your life. God answer prayer. God with you. And you will see the greatest miracle of all, when your body and soul is reunited and you're taken into heaven. So he who planned, Jesus who planned his death to save you, has wisely planned all events in your life. Oh, friends, will you come to Jesus this morning? Right where you are, in your pew, you can ask him to forgive you, and he will do so at once. And you can ask him to help you with your problems and your cares. He's a wonderful Saviour. I heartily recommend him to you. Let's pray. So our God, we thank you then for this story of long ago that teaches us so much about how to come to you and about our need of you and about how wonderful you are and full of tenderness, full of power. Oh Lord, it may be that this morning there are some in the chapel here who are deeply troubled, who have cares and burdens weighing down on their souls that are keeping them awake at night. And we pray that they may have been helped through your word this morning, that maybe even this morning you will lift the burden from their hearts. And there may be some, O Lord, who feel very guilty about their sins, may feel burdened and seeking after you for salvation. Lord, maybe even this morning they may enter into the joy of sins forgiven. O Lord, help us then, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after we have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us. To him be the glory and the dominion, for ever and ever. Amen.
Amen.